As we said earlier, it's good to be with you. I'm glad that you are here. And I'm encouraged by your presence and encourage you to take your Bibles out and follow along. And hopefully, what we have prepared to say will benefit all of us who have assembled here today. As Nathan mentioned, this will probably be my last time with you for, I don't know, the foreseeable future. Hopefully our paths will cross again sometime. It's been a very enjoyable year, I think a little more than a year, that I've been journeying down to be with you on the second Sundays of of the month. And I want you to know that you've been a blessing to me, and I've enjoyed being with you. And I want the very best for you as Andy begins to work with you. I know Andy. I see him a couple times a week. Hopefully, all will go well for you and he, and it'll be a good working relationship, and the Lord will bless you in that work together. I want that for you. As Paul told the Corinthian brethren, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So I want that for you. You continue to do the Lord's will, and the Lord will bless you. Remember what 1 Samuel 14, verse 6 teaches us, that the Lord can save by many or by few. So what's important is that few or that many are loyal to him. Lord willing, next month, the second Sunday of the month, I've already been contacted by a congregation, and I'll be working with them, and so my Sundays will still be filled, and that didn't last long. I was looking forward to one of these days I'll get to meet my wife, and so I think we're like two ships passing in the night, and so I spent a lot of time in that little vehicle out there, about to have it worn out, and I don't know what's going to go first, it or me, but anyway. Be Lord willing, and you pray for me and my work. Be with the congregation in New Cumberland on the second Sundays and the fifth Sundays of the month. Continuing also in Alliance and Gladesville. Be with them as well. And again, keep me in mind. As well, as we all work together in some way or some fashion in the kingdom of our Lord. In Acts chapter 20, we have Paul calling the elders from Ephesus down to Miletus. And he, in his conversation with them, warns them. He also lets them know that while he was among them, he did not fail to declare the whole counsel of God, and that he also taught publicly and from house to house. And as you read this, you cannot walk away from this passage being impressed with the fact that here was a man who had endeared himself to this congregation, and all the while, he had not failed to declare to them the whole counsel of God. So it is possible for brethren to live in unity and harmony and to learn to love one another and to endear themselves to one who is not afraid to declare to them the whole counsel of God. But also, as you read this passage and you come to verse 24, after having told them that they would probably see his face no more, which brought sadness to him, he said he did not know what awaited him, except that the Holy Spirit has said to him that in every city there awaits him chains and tribulations. But then you have this profound statement. But none of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. None of these things move me. As we go through this lesson this morning, I want each of us to compare our lives to this man's life. I want us to understand who it is that said, none of these things move me. And could I stand shoulder to shoulder with him and make the same statement in my journey in this life with Christ? That no matter what I face, these trials or tribulations, that none of these things move me. We have recorded for us in God's word many who were unmovable. Job was unmovable, was he not? You recall the account of Job as Satan presented himself to God, and God asked, where have you been, Satan? Well, I've been walking to and fro upon the face of the earth. And that reminds me of what Peter said, that our adversary Satan is like a roaring lion, walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. And God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, I've considered him, but you put a hedge around him. I cannot get to him. Well, I'll remove this hedge so that you have access to my servant Job. And you do what you want with Job, but spare his life. And we know the story, don't we? But Job came out unmovable. And you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who faced the fiery furnace. They were unmovable. We will not bow to your idol, Nebuchadnezzar. The God whom we serve, he shall deliver us. But should he choose not to deliver us, we will not bow to your idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were unmovable. Then you have Daniel who faced the lion's den, who did not fail to do what he was accustomed to doing, and that is facing Jerusalem and praying three times a day. Although he knew that the consequence of doing such would be certain death. And yet he continued on to serve the Lord and prayed to the Lord. And the Lord blessed him. The Lord spared him from the mouth of the lion. Daniel was one who was unmovable. Yet Peter and John, who were put in prison by the hands of the Sanhedrin council, to whom they plainly said, we ought to obey God rather than men, when they were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus. Peter and John were unmovable. In our text, we have another man that's presented to us as one who is unmovable. Do not distance yourself from him. Paul was a man just like you and me. Blood coursed through his veins, just like yours, just like mine. Paul was capable of loving, and Paul was capable of emotion. You know, when you read 1 Corinthians and he dealt with the problems at Corinth, you come away thinking, well, wow, that was kind of unfeeling on the part of Paul. Bang, 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 he deals with these problems. But when he writes the second letter, he tells them how he was feeling when he wrote that first letter. And as the tears welled in his eyes, out of concern and love for the brethren at Corinth, wanting them not to destroy their relationship that they enjoyed with God. and you need to correct these things there. Do not distance yourself from him. That's why I'm asking you to compare your life with his as we move through this lesson together. Paul said, I don't know what awaits me in every city except this, that the Holy Spirit has said to me, I'll face tribulations and there's chains awaiting me. Literal chains. Remember Paul and Silas thrown in prison and their feet locked in those, in that inner prison? Yes. Paul understood what he had to face as he went from city to city. But none of these things move me. Move comes from a Greek word that carries several definitions, but in this verse, it means to make a thing out of something. Alarm me or deter me from my purpose is defined. As Barnes says, I make an account of none of these things. I do not regard them as any moment or as worth considering in great purpose to which I have devoted my life. None of these things are going to steer me off course. I do not dwell on them. They are of no consequence to me, Paul is saying. They're not even worth considering in the great purpose of things as I continue to do what Christ has called upon me to do. That's a profound statement, ladies and gentlemen. On the part of one who faced so much adversity and hardship, danger and misfortune, harsh conditions and hard times. Stop and think with me for a few minutes now about the man who just made that statement, that none of these things move me. Let's talk about some of the things that he faced. He said, chains or bonds and afflictions, they're not going to move me. And they didn't. But he was stoned and left for dead at Lystra in Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. If you want to turn over there with me, if you're in Acts chapter 20, notice the 19th verse of this 14th chapter. Notice that Luke records for us this concerning the Apostle Paul. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitude, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Stoned him. They just didn't toss a few rocks at his feet. They picked up stones and stoned him, pelting his body with these projectiles until they assumed he was dead. And then they dragged him out of the city. Imagine that. Imagine how that would feel. You ever been pelted with a rock? Right. My brother and I used to visit my grandmother 2 weeks out of the year. She lived in outside of Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, just close to the West Virginia border there, New Freeport, Pennsylvania, just over the ridge from 100. A little ways, but not that far. And we play all over those hills with our cousins. And we play war. Army. And our projectiles were walnuts before they were husks, before they were, you know, the green. Yeah. I don't know what we were thinking. No. I really don't. Whatever is exposed was fair game. Head, leg, arm, whatever. And I remember being pelted a few times. I remember how it felt. I can only imagine what this would feel like. They weren't playing a game here. They wanted Paul's life. And so they picked up stones and they stoned him, and assuming he was dead, drug him out of the city and left him there. In Acts 16, Paul was put in prison after having been whipped at Philippi. He's put into the inner prison, his feet in stocks, along with Silas. Now, when the Bible tells you here that he was whipped, understand that he was whipped by the Romans. The Jews could give 40 lashes minus one, so they always stopped at 39 because they didn't want to go over that 40 because there was consequence in doing so. But the Romans had no such guidelines. And they were unmerciful. Can you imagine how that must have felt as Paul was unmercifully beaten, whipped, along with Silas, and then thrown in the inner prison? Let me ask you, take a step back now. I said compare your life with him. At this point, would you have said, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't realize my walk with Christ would involve something like this. At this point, would you have been inclined to throw in the towel? Or could you, along with Paul, say, yet none of these things move me. They're of no consequence in the overall purpose of things. And I'm going to press on. I'm not going to give up. In Acts 21, we see Paul is mobbed at Jerusalem. And that mob would have killed Paul had it not been for Claudius Lysias, the commander of the garrison, who intervened and saved him from the mob. And we know the rest of that story. We know where he lands as he's in prison. And then he deals with Felix and Festus, Agrippa. And then lastly, in the book of Acts, he becomes a prisoner at Rome. Now we can only imagine what that was like for him. You know, he always wanted to go to Rome, but I'm sure he didn't want to go this way. But we find him there at Rome. Let me ask you, would it have been at that point that you would have said, enough's enough. I know Jesus said count the cost, but surely he didn't mean for me to endure this much. Or would again we share in the thought or attitude of Paul and express none of these things move me? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, you have this itemized list of things that Paul endured for the cause of Christ. And this is not a complete list. And it gave Paul no pleasure to mention these things. There was purpose behind it. And hopefully we understand the purpose. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, as you begin verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more in labors and abundant in stripes, above measures, in prison more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. in journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robber, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentile, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Look at that list. And ask yourself, at what point would I have thrown in the towel? At what point would I have given up? At what point would I have said, enough's enough? Just at what point? Look at this list. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they a son of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors. This man worked tirelessly. You know, sometimes I think, I take a step back and I think how busy I am. And it seems like I just don't have any time to myself sometimes. I was at the funeral home the other day working, and one of the directors says, what do you do for hobbies? I said, you're looking at it. I don't know what, and he took a step back and said, really? I said, well, no, I do some other things when I have time. But still, that being said, look at what Paul's saying. Can I really compare to Paul? Compare myself to Paul as far as laborers are concerned in the kingdom. This man worked tirelessly. On many occasions, laboring with his own hands, supporting himself as he preached the gospel. He was by trade a tent maker. In prisons more frequently. When was the last time you spent a day in jail because you were a Christian? When was the last time they threw you in prison because you're a Christian? Not because you're a criminal, but just simply because you're doing the right thing. Because you were honoring God. Because you were doing the work that Christ wanted you to do. Because you were helping others, wanting to save others. And they throw you in prison. Raise your hand. Not me either. None of these things move me, Paul said. In deaths often, Paul faced it, didn't he? Stoned at Lystra, drug out of the city as dead. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes, 5 times. When was the last time you were beaten for the cause of Christ? Now, I've been drug out of church buildings by my tie. I'm not going to repeat that, you know. And I haven't seen Mo for a long time. Mo's 80 years old. Mo's 6 years older than I am. But when I see him, well, I'm going to let him have it. Yeah. But I've never received one stripe. Because I'm a Christian. No one's ever taken a whip and beaten me for serving Christ. But they did this man. Beginning to appreciate his statement to the elders of Ephesus when he said, none of these things move me. Three times I was beaten with rods. We talked about that. He was beaten with rods at Philippi. Romans did not stop at 39. Once he was stoned, we talked about that. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I spent in the deep. Now, I don't know if you spend much time on the water. I was in the Navy, so I've seen a drop or two. It's no fun being in turbulent seas. Now, our craft weren't the USS Constellation. All right? Eric probably back there knows a little bit about it. We were river patrols. By river patrol, I don't mean we patrolled the Ohio. We supported Navy SEALs and underwater demolition teams. And we trained all the time, and a lot of that training was out Oceanside, out of San Diego. And when I mean Oceanside, I mean way out. We'd rendezvous with submarines and different other vessels and helicopters and things of that nature. I remember one time taking the SEALs out, and we did our thing. We did the drop and pick up and all of that stuff. We went through that routine, and now it was time for the Marines version. And you got any Marines in here? All my troubles don't live in Texas. They were with Marines. All right? They came out. They swam out from the shore. And we went through the routines. We went through everything they wanted to go through. But about that time, it was already starting to get dark and a fog came in. Now, from the water line to the bow of our vessels was only about 3.5 feet. And the fog was so thick, and it became so dark, we couldn't see the water. And there were two of us, two boats, and we tied our vessels together, we tied the boats together, so we could keep track of one another. And we had to spend the night there. And we set a watch and all of that because the U.S. Constellation would have never seen us. They wouldn't even have known we were there. So we had to be very careful. And the next morning we worked our way into the shoreline where we could see the white cap, and then we'd back out and work out and then back in, and we worked around the underwater jetty and into the harbor. And the one in front of me, the sailor in front of me with his boat, I was driving ours. I saw him pull back on the lever. It's the only way you could stop these, we put them in reverse. I saw him pull down hard. And so I pulled down hard and we stopped. And in the shadow was indeed the U.S. Constellation. You could just barely make it out. They would have never known we hit them. I say all that because I understand what Paul is saying here when he says, a night and a day I spent in the deep. And I understand the impact that has on you. And understand the fear that goes with that and the uncertainty. And we understand from reading the book of Acts the things that Paul went through during shipwreck. Endurings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. I've had a few things stolen, but I've never been in peril of robbers. Paul was. In perils of my own countrymen. Remember the mob? Those were his own countrymen in Acts 28. in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in toil, in sleeplessness, all of these things. Again, as you compare your life with his, can we measure up to this? What, at what point would I have said, this is it? I'm not going to go through this anymore. I'm done. At what point here? Or what I've shared in that attitude, none of these things move me. Now, I want us to stop and think about this for a moment, because here's the question. What is this that's causing me to throw in the towel? What is this causing me to doubt? What is it that's causing me to second guess or to throw in that towel or to want to walk away from Christ? Any of these things? So what is it? What could it possibly be compared to this? And yet, I see it. I see brethren walking away, sometimes for the most trivial of trivial things. This brother upset me. Really? Come on. Really? That's what's going to cause you to throw in the towel? Sometimes it's the most childish of things. I'm not saying that differences and so on and so cannot be certain. They can be. But we can work those out. And in view of these things, really, by comparison, there's no comparison. And so every time I, even in my own life, I need to be careful. Hey, yeah, you get tired. Yeah, you have to put up with certain things. Yeah. Yeah. About the closest I can come to any of this, brethren, besides the difficulties, that is I had to eat a bowl of rhubarb soup one time. That almost caused me to give it up, I'm going to tell you. And that's the perils of being God. You never know what you're going to get. And his sister, good-hearted sister, I'm telling you, good cook. I don't know what she's thinking, though. I don't know if you ever had rhubarb soup, but you serve it cold. And you serve it with, you put a little spoonful of whipped cream or Cool Whip or whatever in the center of the bowl. And the theory is this. You take the spoon, get a little Cool Whip, dip it in the rhubarb soup. I want to tell you, I couldn't even eat a peanut for 3 weeks. Man. So, I don't know if you know Larry Hafey or not, but Larry was there. And Larry took a little bite. I took a little bite. I shoved my bowl over to Larry. Larry shoved both bowls back. I shoved both bowls back. And this went on and on and on until she caught Larry. She goes, "You don't have to eat that if you don't want it." Thank you. Well, that's about the closest I, That was nasty enough. But those are the things we put up with, right? Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to be trivial here. I'm just saying by comparison, some of the things that cause brethren to walk away from their Lord, I just don't get. I just don't get. I'm not trying to minimize anyone's problems. I'm not trying to minimize any seriousness that's attached to the things that brethren or churches go through. But the next time you encounter anything like that, I want you to get this list out and read it. Read it. And then say, my, no comparison. And yet Paul said, none of these things move me. None of them. Now I want to wind things up here, and you're probably happy I'm going to. And I get that too. You have to suffer too, I get it. But even this doesn't compare to this list. Here's why Paul could say, none of these things move me. Look what he says. Neither count I my life dear to myself. You know, we're often willing to serve the Lord until he interferes too much with my life. And then things become difficult for us. When I don't want my will to give in to his will. But we need to share in the attitude of Paul even more when he said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. But if we're going to succeed and we're going to even come close to walking with Paul shoulder to shoulder, we have to share in that attitude. Neither count I my life dear to myself. Paul was willing to make any sacrifice necessary in order to achieve what Christ had called upon him to do. And then he finishes that verse by saying, that I might finish my course with joy. He hadn't finished his course yet, but he wanted to. And he was determined to finish it. Do you see that determination? He had to be determined, or you wouldn't have that list in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Think about the things this man went through in order to be faithful to Christ. Did he ever finish? Yeah. Leave you with this passage. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's a very familiar passage. You know, we key in on verses 6 through 8, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, because I'm going to do the same thing here. But what's really on Paul's mind, you're going to find in the first part of this chapter, because what he's concerned about is who's going to take up the mantle, who's going to follow, who's going to fill these shoes, who's going to carry on with the gospel. I'm at the end. Death is imminent. Paul wasn't concerned about death. It's like his vessel was moored to the dock and they're going to cast off the lines and his vessel's going to sail on the sea of eternity. He wasn't concerned about that. I think he was looking forward to that and in great anticipation and joy. But what he was concerned about was who's going to take up the mantle. Timothy, I want you to think about these things. Because I'm done. I'm finished. It's over for me. Look at verse 6. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. You know, Nero, this was it for him. It faced him once, and he was let go, and he's not going to escape this time. He's not going to escape death this time. He understands that. I'm already being poured out as this drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Paul finished it, didn't he? He finished the course. I've fought the good fight, he said. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there's this crown. What enabled him to say this is because none of these things move me. You know, when I die, which I don't know when it'll be, I really don't care all that much what's said at my funeral. I'm not going to hear it anyway. I'm sure there'll be some good things, and I don't know about anything else. But I'll tell you this. I don't care if anything is said except this. If this can be said in all honesty and truth, what else would you want said? That here lies one who has finished the race, kept the faith, finished the course. But that can be said, and what else do you want said? But that's never going to happen if we allow things to move us. So let's share in the attitude of Paul. None of these things move me. This morning, if you're outside of Christ and never became a child of God, we encourage you to become one. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, repent of your sins as he's asked you to do, confess your faith in him before this good audience, be baptized in water for remission of your sins. At that point, you're a child of God. You begin that relationship with him. Now it'll be up to you to maintain that relationship, and with his help, you can. But in that journey, do not allow anything to move you. You be just as determined as Paul to finish that race. Child of God, if you've fallen away, perhaps something has moved you. We encourage you to come back to the fold of safety this morning. What a time and opportunity is yours as we stand and as we sing the invitation.